Michelle Grattan's in our Parliament House studios. Michelle, good morning.
Hi, Fran.
Michelle, reality bites for Labor. Is this these backdowns, these backflips they're going to announce, are they, is it shred their economic credibility, or are these the kind of tough economic decisions Labor needs to be seen to be making to shore up their credentials as they also have announced bigger deficits?
Well, I think they're designed to try to strengthen their economic credibility, and it does suggest that the government's campaign of talking about a black hole, and of course the government had its own troubles in the early stages of that with numbers, but that campaign is having an effect, and also the reaction to this week's statement by Labor that it would have bigger deficits in the short term or over the four decades estimates than the coalition, that obviously has not been a very good announcement by the ALP. So on the other hand, it's trying to say, well, it would be tough on savings, on getting savings, and therefore that its economic credibility is stronger, but it's caught between having to run that argument and also, of course, as you say, backtracking on some measures that in the past it's condemned as unfair and wish to block.
Yeah, I'll come to the measures in a moment, but it's a high-risk strategy for Labor this week. I mean, it's already foreshadowed it will have bigger deficits than the government. The government's, you know, basically jumping for joy at this admission. But if Labor comes through with some significant spending cuts today, backflip on policies that it has held and says in the name of a, you know, tough economic management and credibility, we're going to allow these cuts through. Does that undermine the government's sort of, you know, Labor spendometer towards the spend, same old Labor spend?
Well, it's certainly aimed at undermining it. The problem, I think, for Labor is that if the impression has taken hold that it is being too extravagant, then it is quite hard to counter, because in the ordinary voter's mind, this argument, the detail of it will have got quite complicated. So you've got claims and counterclaims, and therefore you've got to say, well, will people say, okay, the Labor Party seems to be running a credible line, or will the whole debate become so confused that they'll just get the message that Labor's spending too much?
And
I think it goes back to the point that Labor should have perhaps been more careful in its initial spending measures and cut some of those back somewhat, so it wasn't in such a dilemma at the moment.
We don't know where these cuts will be made, and Andrew Leigh, as you heard, wasn't giving anything away. But Jenny Macklin has been assiduous in her protests against the cuts to the family tax benefit for years now. I mean, her credibility would be shredded if Labor waved through those now, or bank those savings, wouldn't they?
Clearly the opposition's going to rework that area and come out with some package that produces savings, but that it says is still fair to families. Now, I guess we have to see the detail before making a judgment about that, but it is a very awkward thing for Labor to have to do. There's absolutely no getting out of that, and it's a case, I guess, from its point of view, of the lesser of evils.
Yeah, and that $900 million cut to R&D business tax concessions that people are suggesting will be one of those ones that Labor announces today. This will be another anti-business measure from Labor. Now, Andrew Leigh denied that Labor was anti-business, but business is feeling it, would suggest.
Well, business is already agitated about various Labor measures and Labor's negative attitude to the government's tax package and so on.
Okay. Michelle, just finally, you've been in South Australia over the past few days looking at the Xenophon team campaign. The Australia Institute has some new research revealing many Australians aren't really across the new Senate rules, and a lot of us might just vote one like we used to last time around, rather than 1-6 or 1-12, as you can now, which would lead to a lot of votes being exhausted early. The Australia Institute says that means the last Senate spots in each state would be elected on a very small quota. So it looks like the Senate crossbench won't be cleaned out after all.
Well, it's certainly an irony, because, of course, those voting changes which came in right at the end of the last parliament and went through pretty quickly were designed to squeeze the micro players in the Senate. Now, that's been offset by having a double dissolution, and it does look as though we're going to have a lot of so-called rats and mice in the Senate again, and there will be a challenge for the new government to deal with, a re-elected Turnbull government or a Labor government.
And just briefly, what was your takeout on the Nick Xenophon team? You're in South Australia for a couple of days. I think you're right this morning. You've said this morning it's going to be the next big thing in the Senate. So the Palmer United Party goes and the Nick Xenophon team comes in. Is that about how you see the numbers?
Well, I think that's right. They will, the Nick Xenophon team, as things look to be at the moment, and even on a quite conservative view, just giving them three senators from South Australia and not senators from other states, and there's a chance they could pick up more elsewhere, but just those three from South Australia would mean that they would have a significant slice of the balance of power in the new Senate, just as the Palmer United Party did last term, or at least at the start of the last term before they fell apart.
Michelle, thank you very much.
Thanks, Fran.
Michelle Grattan from The Conversation and Canberra University.